you for the Holy Spirit that you have sent upon us to inspire us, to lead us into truth, and to open our hearts to those around us and to live your kingdom life. And so we now pray that you might touch Andrew by your Spirit, that he may share your word to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Over to Thank you, Andrew. Peter. Wow, if only I had my brain switched on at 5 o'clock this morning when I got up to pray part of the 24/7 prayer, I would have got one of my red fleeces out myself. So thank you, Peter, for doing the honours this morning and wearing red. Well, people say history is full of pivotal moments. Moments when the world was on an axis of change forever. The history of the monarchy and the formation of government might be seen as pivotal moments in the history of our country. The concept and calculation of gravity. I still got it, I can still do it. Was pivotal was a pivotal moment in mathematics and physics. The invention of penicillin, antibiotics, and what we call now jabs. Pivotal moments in medical history. Steam power in the 1800s. Atomic power in the 1900s. Smartphones and social media. I'm sure my phone's here somewhere, never too far. In the 21st century, all pivotal moments in modern day history. Today, we are thinking about another pivotal moment in the history of the world, the day that the church was born. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon all the believers who were gathered together at 9 o'clock in the morning in Jerusalem. The context for our reading this morning, and Peter's already touched on this, it's 50 days since the death of Jesus and the resurrection of him. And it's 10 days since Jesus ascended up to heaven to be with his Father. The disciples have been told to wait for power on high. Pentecost is one of the main festivals and a time when Jews would celebrate the first harvest. And think about the time that Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. Being one of the main festivals, Jerusalem would have been full of Jews from all over the Mediterranean area. And Jews would have been dispersed over many centuries due to exile, war, and occupation. So on this Pentecost day, all the disciples are there together, and we hear about a sudden sound of a violent wind that comes from heaven, filling the whole room. And then what looks like tongues of fire resting on those in the room that seem to separate and rest on each of them. We hear that they are filled with the Holy Spirit and they begin to speak in other tongues. Now, as we know, there were Jews visiting from all over the Mediterranean area. Some then hear and could see what was going on in that room, which is hardly surprising. If you heard the sound of a violent wind from heaven and tongues of fire appearing in a room, you might go and have a look. I would certainly be really interested if that was happening over the road from me. Now, when these God-fearing Jews arrive, they hear all these Galileans, and the Galileans means disciples from the north of Israel, fluently speaking in the languages of all these pilgrims. People from Parthia, Mede, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. There is very little chance that any of these disciples would have been fluent in any of these languages. This was the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had arrived, and some said they could hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own language. So, I wonder, could you imagine, we're back in 2012, and it's the Olympics in London, and a whole bunch of international athletes go into a room full of Londoners who have no actual second language, and they start to hear their own languages being spoken. Yes, I think they would probably find it hard to take in. And so did those watching on this Pentecost day. They thought the disciples might be drunk because it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, let me just say, the tongues that we have spoken of here at the beginning of Acts is different to the gift of tongues that we hear about later on in the New Testament. The gift of tongues we hear about later are usually unintelligible words that need to be interpreted and are for edification of that person. The tongues we have here in Jerusalem are ununderstandable. They're not understandable. They're words in languages that represent the visitors to Jerusalem. God was using a dramatic way to say, I am doing a new thing. I'm taking an old tradition and making it new. God was demonstrating by the power of language. He was coming to bring clarity of purpose and power to enable that purpose to be carried out. You see, in the time after Noah and the flood, where there was just one language on earth, some of the people started to think that they could get to heaven by building a great tower in a place called Babel. As their tower got higher and higher, in their arrogance, God decided to confuse them all by giving them all different languages and scattering them around the world. Now, on the day of Pentecost, by God's power, people from foreign lands hear their language spoken by uneducated people from a backwater in the north of Israel. God was doing something new. Now, today is the second Pentecost that we have celebrated while under lockdown. And there is great uncertainty about how we and the world are going to learn to live with COVID-19. We've heard of the new Indian variant and the damage it's doing across India. It is as if humanity is not in complete control of the planet. In the H.G. Wells book, War of the Worlds, humanity is threatened by Martians who come to Earth and spread the planet with the red weed to take control. In the end, it's not guns or munitions that save humanity, but Earth's bacteria that kills the Martians. The biological world has taken center stage with COVID-19. The biological world has affected each and every human being on the planet in the same way. Historically, humanity has treated the biological world as a tool, as a resource to conquer, sometimes with little respect. Now, I am not qualified. Or am I suggesting the biological world is sending us a warning with COVID-19? But perhaps if we don't pay more attention to the way we are destroying our planet, we will see more variants and more global pandemics. But let me now bring us back to Pentecost. Our world faces great uncertainty at the moment. The disciples are in the upper room faced with great uncertainty about their future. They had no idea what God was going to call them to do next. Did Peter and the gang think that they would begin the biggest faith movement the world has ever seen? Probably not. So there they are in this room, with these tongues of fire and people speaking in languages they could not speak in. And an accusation is made. Are these people drunk? And then Peter stands up and he tells them that the time has come. A new age has dawned in the life of his people and the whole world. And the age of the Holy Spirit is here. We just need to remember, this is only 50 days after Peter had denied Jesus three times. And then, with great authority, here Peter quotes a man called Joel, who about 800 years previously had prophesied these incredible words. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. On my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And after Pentecost, as the new church emerges and starts to spread out all over the Mediterranean world, we hear, as we continue to read in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is poured out on all people. Sons and daughters began to prophesy. Young men have visions. Old men have dreams. They would see wonders on earth and wonders in the heavens. And all those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. When you read the rest of the New Testament, you will see all these things happening. And still today, the Holy Spirit is being poured out in the church. People are still prophesying. We still have visions and words of knowledge. People still have dreams and speak into their lives and the lives of others. We still see the wonders of God, and from time to time we see miracles, and people are still coming to faith and being saved. My wife, Catherine, is very interested in dreams and interpreting dreams and being led by the Holy Spirit, and the way he does that through dreams. Before we moved to Eisted Rise over 10 years ago, Catherine had a couple of dreams. And in the first dream, she was kind of told that she needed stout boots. She needed these boots to wear where we were moving to, because she could see broken glass out on the path. So that was one dream, the broken glass and stout boots. And then she had another dream where she saw what she thought was like a city on a hill, a city or a town in the distance. Anyway, the summer of 2011 came and we moved into our new vicarage in Eisted Rise. And it might have been within the first few weeks. I'm just out in the car park of the church, because the vicarage is attached to the car park of the church. And I'm looking at the ground, and I'm seeing bits of green glass, in the car park, on the floor. And I'm thinking, the first thing I'm thinking is, there have been some youngsters out drinking and smashing, beer bottles. But I looked a bit closer, and I could see that the glass was actually embedded into the tarmac, which I thought was rather interesting. I thought, okay, it's probably recycled glass that they've put into the aggregate. And what I found out later was that when they did the when they built the new church in 2004, they hadn't actually put the top coat of tarmac on, the smooth coat. It still had the rough coat. And so there it was, the green, the glass in the ground that Catherine, so I said, I ran in, I said, Catherine, does this resonate with you? Could this be something, could this resonate with your dream? And we felt it was a sign from God that we were in the right place. And then a few years later, we're out for a walk with some friends in the fields surrounding Eisted Rise. And we come to this place where you can see Gravesend in the distance. And Catherine says, we've got to stop. And I said, well, why is that? Why have we got to stop? She says, that's what I saw all those years ago. That's exactly what I saw in my dream. I saw that town in the distance. I saw that in the distance. And we found that just incredibly comforting. And I know that dreams and visions and words of knowledge bring incredible comfort and direction to Christians today, and I still believe in that, and I still believe that the Holy Spirit works in that way. So why did God send the Holy Spirit on the church at Pentecost, and why does he pour out the Spirit on us today? The Spirit is poured out to empower us to know the love of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ, and to know his comfort, his peace, and the healing that he brings. The Spirit is also given to empower us to make that salvation, comfort, and peace, and healing known to the world that we live in. We cannot make that message known without the Holy Spirit. Today we've heard about what happened on that pivotal day of Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus' ascension up to heaven. We've heard about the mighty wind and what looked like tongues of fire on the believers in that room. We've heard that by the Holy Spirit, those believers spoke in the languages of the many guests who had come from all over the Mediterranean world. We can see that the confusion brought at Babel becomes understanding at Pentecost. Pentecost shows us today that just like the first disciples, we can have comfort in uncertain times. Pentecost shows us that lives are transformed by the Holy Spirit. When we see Peter boldly preach his first sermon, telling everybody that the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all people, and they will be able to participate in supernatural acts of God. Lastly, Pentecost is the birthday of the church. It was the launch pad for the greatest missional work the world has ever seen, enabling millions and billions of believers over the centuries and today to know the peace and presence of God in their hearts and minds. The same empowering presence is still here with us so that we can be equipped to take the message of salvation to our homes, families, communities, and workplaces today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen.